Section 4. The Spread of Protestantism and the Catholic Response. Voices from the Past. In order to fight Protestantism, the Catholic Ignatius Loyola founded a new religious order. He insisted on certain principles. We must put aside all judgment of our own and keep the mind ever ready and prompt to obey in all things the true spouse of Jesus Christ, our Holy Mother, the Roman Catholic Church. If we wish to proceed securely in all things, we must hold fast to the following principle. What seems to me white, I will believe black if the Catholic Church so defines. For I must be convinced that in Christ our Lord, the Bridegroom, and in His Spouse, the Catholic Church, only one Spirit holds sway, which governs and rules for the salvation of souls. Spiritual Exercises of Ignatius Loyola, Louis J. Poole, Translator, 1951. Loyola's ideal of complete obedience to the Church was the cornerstone of his fight against the spread of Protestant groups. The Zwinglian Reformation. With the Peace of Augsburg, what had at first been merely feared was now certain. The ideal of Christian unity was forever lost. Even before the Peace of Augsburg, however, division had appeared in Protestantism. One of these new groups appeared in Switzerland. Huldrych Zwingli was a priest in Zurich. The city council of Zurich, strongly influenced by Zwingli, began to introduce religious reforms. Relics and images were abolished. All paintings and decorations were removed from the churches and replaced by whitewashed walls. A new church service, consisting of scripture reading, prayer, and sermons, replaced the Catholic Mass. As his movement began to spread to other cities in Switzerland, Zwingli sought an alliance with Martin Luther and the German reformers. Both the German and Swiss reformers realized the need for unity to defend themselves against Catholic authorities, but they were unable to agree on the meaning of the sacrament of communion. In October 1531, war broke out between the Protestant and Catholic states in Switzerland. Zurich's army was routed, and Zwingli was found wounded on the battlefield. His enemies killed him, cut up his body, and burned the pieces, scattering the ashes. The leadership of Protestantism in Switzerland now passed to John Calvin. Reading check. Describing. What religious reforms were introduced in Zurich? Calvin and Calvinism. John Calvin was educated in his native France. After his conversion to Protestantism, however, he was forced to flee Catholic France for the safety of Switzerland. In 1536, he published The Institutes of the Christian Religion, a summary of Protestant thought. This work immediately gave Calvin a reputation as one of the new leaders of Protestantism. On most important doctrines, Calvin stood very close to Luther. He, too, believed in the doctrine of justification by faith alone to explain how humans achieved salvation. However, Calvin also placed much emphasis on the all-powerful nature of God, what Calvin called the power, grace, and glory of God. Calvin's emphasis on the all-powerful nature of God led him to other ideas. One of these ideas was predestination. This eternal decree, as Calvin called it, meant that God had determined in advance who would be saved, the elect, and who would be damned, the reprobate. According to Calvin, he has once for all determined both whom he would admit to salvation and whom he would condemn to destruction. The belief in predestination gave later Calvinists the firm conviction that they were doing God's work on earth. This conviction, in turn, made them determined to spread their faith to other people. Calvinism became a dynamic and activist faith. In 1536, Calvin began working to reform the city of Geneva. He created a church government that used both clergy and laity in the service of the church. The consistory, a special body for enforcing moral discipline, was set up as a court to oversee the moral life and doctrinal purity of Genevans. The consistory had the right to punish people who deviated from the church's teachings and moral principles. Citizens in Geneva were punished for such varied crimes as dancing, singing obscene songs, drunkenness, swearing, and playing cards. Calvin's success in Geneva made the city a powerful center of Protestantism. Following Calvin's lead, missionaries trained in Geneva were sent to all parts of Europe. Calvinism became established in France, the Netherlands, Scotland, and Central and Eastern Europe. By the mid-16th century, Calvinism had replaced Lutheranism as the most important and dynamic form of Protestantism. Calvin's Geneva stood as the fortress of the Protestant Reformation. John Knox, the Calvinist reformer of Scotland, called it the most perfect school of Christ on earth. Reading check. Explaining. How did the consistory enforce moral discipline in Geneva? The Reformation in England. The English Reformation was rooted in politics, not religion. King Henry VIII wanted to divorce his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, with whom he had a daughter, Mary, but no son. Since he needed a male heir, Henry wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. Impatient with the Pope's unwillingness to annul or declare invalid his marriage to Catherine, Henry turned to England's own church courts. As the Archbishop of Canterbury, head of the highest church court in England, Thomas Cranmer ruled in May 1533 that the king's marriage to Catherine was null and absolutely void. At the beginning of June, Anne was crowned queen. 3 months later, a child was born. Much to the king's disappointment, the baby was a girl. She would later become Queen Elizabeth I. In 1534, at Henry's request, Parliament moved to finalize the break of the Catholic Church in England with the Pope in Rome. The Act of Supremacy in 1534 declared that the king was taken, accepted, and reputed the only supreme head on earth of the new Church of England. This position gave the king control over religious doctrine, clerical appointments, and discipline. Thomas More, a Christian humanist and devout Catholic, opposed the king's action and was beheaded. Henry used his new powers to dissolve the monasteries and sell their land and possessions to wealthy landowners and merchants. The king received a great boost to his treasury and a group of supporters who now had a stake in the new order. In matters of doctrine, however, Henry remained close to Catholic teachings. When Henry died in 1547, he was succeeded by Edward VI, a sickly 9-year-old, the son of his third wife. During Edward's reign, church officials who favored Protestant doctrines moved the Church of England, also called the Anglican Church, in a Protestant direction. New Acts of Parliament gave the clergy the right to marry and created a new Protestant church service. These rapid changes aroused much opposition. When Mary, Henry's daughter by Catherine of Aragon, came to the throne in 1553, England was ready for a reaction. There was no doubt that Mary was a Catholic who wanted to restore England to Roman Catholicism. However, the way she went about it had the opposite effect. Among other actions, she had more than 300 Protestants burned as heretics, earning her the nickname Bloody Mary. As a result of her policies, England was even more Protestant by the end of Mary's reign than it had been at the beginning. Reading check. Examining. Why did Henry VIII form the Church of England? The Anabaptists. Reformers such as Luther had allowed the state to play an important, if not dominant, role in church affairs. However, some people strongly disliked giving such power to the state. These were radicals known as the Anabaptists. To Anabaptists, the true Christian church was a voluntary community of adult believers who had undergone spiritual rebirth and had then been baptized. This belief in adult baptism separated Anabaptists from Catholics and Protestants, who baptized infants. Anabaptists also believed in following the practices and the spirit of early Christianity. They considered all believers to be equal, a belief they based on the accounts of early Christian communities in the New Testament. Each Anabaptist church chose its own minister or spiritual leader. Because all Christians were considered priests, any member of the community was eligible to be a minister, though women were often excluded. Finally, most Anabaptists believed in the complete separation of church and state. Not only was government to be kept out of the realm of religion, it was not even supposed to have any political authority over real Christians. Anabaptists refused to hold political office or bear arms because many took literally the biblical commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." Their political beliefs, as much as their religious beliefs, caused the Anabaptists to be regarded as dangerous radicals who threatened the very fabric of 16th century society. Indeed, the chief thing other Protestants and Catholics could agree on was the need to persecute Anabaptists. Reading check. Describing. Why were the Anabaptists considered to be dangerous political radicals? Effects on the role of women. The Protestants were important in developing a new view of the family. Protestantism had eliminated the idea that special holiness was associated with celibacy and had abolished both monasticism and the requirement of celibacy for the clergy. The family could now be placed at the center of human life. The mutual love between man and wife could be extolled. Were idea and reality the same, however? More often, reality reflected the traditional roles of husband as the ruler and wife as the obedient servant whose chief duty was to please her husband. Luther stated it clearly. The rule remains with the husband, and the wife is compelled to obey him by God's command. He rules the home and the state, wages war, defends his possessions, tills the soil, builds, plants, etc. The woman, on the other hand, is like a nail driven into the wall. So the wife should stay at home and look after the affairs of the household, as one who has been deprived of the ability of administering those affairs that are outside and that concern the state. She does not go beyond her most personal duties. Obedience to her husband was not a woman's only role. Her other important duty was to bear children. To Calvin and Luther, this function of women was part of the divine plan. Family life was the only destiny for most Protestant women. Overall, then, the Protestant Reformation did not change women's subordinate place in society. Reading check. Evaluating. What impact did the Protestant Reformation have on women? The Catholic Reformation. By the mid-16th century, Lutheranism had become rooted in Germany and Scandinavia, and Calvinism had taken hold in Switzerland, France, the Netherlands, and Eastern Europe. In England, the split from Rome had resulted in the creation of a national church. The situation in Europe did not look particularly good for the Catholic Church. However, the Catholic Church also had a revitalization in the 16th century, giving it new strength and enabling it to regain much that it had lost. This Catholic Reformation was supported by three chief pillars: the Jesuits, reform of the papacy, and the Council of Trent. The Society of Jesus, known as the Jesuits, was founded by a Spanish nobleman, Ignatius of Loyola. Loyola gathered together a small group of followers, which was recognized as a religious order by the Pope in 1540. All Jesuits took a special vow of absolute obedience to the Pope, making them an important instrument for papal policy. Jesuits used education to spread their message. Jesuit missionaries were very successful in restoring Catholicism to parts of Germany and Eastern Europe and in spreading it to other parts of the world. Reform of the papacy was another important factor in the Catholic Reformation. The participation of Renaissance popes in dubious financial transactions and Italian political and military affairs had created many sources of corruption. It took the jolt of the Protestant Reformation to bring about serious reform. Pope Paul III perceived the need for change and took the bold step of appointing a reform commission in 1537 to determine the church's ills. The commission blamed the church's problems on the corrupt policies of the popes. Paul III, who recognized the Jesuits as a new religious order, also began the Council of Trent, another pillar of the Catholic Reformation. In March 1545, a group of cardinals, archbishops, bishops, abbots, and theologians met in the city of Trent on the border between Germany and Italy. There they began the Council of Trent, which met off and on for 18 years. The final decrees of the Council of Trent reaffirmed traditional Catholic teachings in opposition to Protestant beliefs. Both faith and good works were declared necessary for salvation. The seven sacraments, the Catholic view of the Eucharist, and clerical celibacy were all upheld. Belief in purgatory and in the use of indulgences was strengthened, although the selling of indulgences was forbidden. After the Council of Trent, the Roman Catholic Church possessed a clear body of doctrine and was unified under the supreme leadership of the Pope. With a renewed spirit of confidence, the Catholic Church entered a new phase, as well prepared as the Calvinists to do battle for the Lord. Reading check. Describing, what was the relationship between the Jesuits and the Pope?